few minutes, I don't have very much, a few minutes to talk about the parasha, Parasha Sav. Parasha Sav is, for us, it's the week after Purim. First of all, today, it's worthy to mention is Shushan Purim. What is the significance of Shushan Purim? What Shushan Purim really is, it's the Yom Yerushalayim. Today we have a day, Chav Ches Iyar. Chav Ches Iyar was the day when Muhammad, when we took back Yerushalayim, Nisim Geluim occurred on Chav Ches Iyar in our generation, and it became known in certain groups of Klal Yisrael as the Yom Yerushalayim. But the truth is, there was a Yom Yerushalayim that came before Chav Ches Iyar, and that is Chav Ches Iyar is also the Yartzeit of Shmuel, Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel was also very much associated with Yerushalayim. He was the one that selected Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim, the Yom Yerushalayim that came before is today. Why do we celebrate? What's Shushan Purim? Shushan Purim is, and to review the Megillah, Esther said to Achashverosh that let the Jews in Shushan, let them fight one more day. Let them fight on the 14th day of Adar, and thereby give them the 15th day of Adar as a day of rest. So, and this was for the Shushan Habira. And the miracle was, any city that has a wall, Mimos Yoshua Bin Nun, celebrates Purim on the 14th, which on the 15th day, because the Muhammad took place on the 14th day, so the day of rest was on the 15th day. Now the problem is, Bizman Hazed is Kimat, I don't think we're sure about any city. We don't even know where Shushan is exactly, and there are no cities today that we can identify as having a wall from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. The only exception is Yerushalayim. Not that Yerushalayim had a wall, it's very likely it did not have a wall at that time. It was destroyed at that time during the miracle, there was no wall. The walls of Yerushalayim were destroyed during that period of time. They were built only much later on, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, so there was no wall, but Chazal, they enacted the covenant of Yerushalayim should be no worse than a city that had a wall in the Yemos, Yoshua bin Nun, than Shushan Habira. So built into the miracle of Purim is to give kovod to Yerushalayim. Where else do we have in Chazal a day dedicated, what's for us today? Because again, Shushan doesn't exist anymore. Shushan is bottle. All other cities in the world, they're also bottle. We can't identify a city that has a wall. The only thing that Chazal guaranteed will be celebrated for all generations is Yerushalayim. It's a day dedicated to give kovod to Yerushalayim. In the Megillah, is the only place in Tanakh where Yerushalayim is spelled mole. Throughout Yirmiyah, I'm not sure where else it says Yerushalayim, the few Svarim where it says Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is always spelled without a yud. The only place where Yerushalayim has a yud, it's spelled mole, is in Megillah Esther, Asher Hagla, Yerushalayim, Im Hagoyla, Asher Hagla, Saim Yichayim Melech Yehuda. Why? Because built into the miracle of Purim is to give kavod to Yerushalayim. Now, what?
Talking only in Tanakh.
In Tanakh. Nowhere in Tanakh is Yerushalayim only except for the Megillah Esther, because that's all part of what the Takan is, to give cover to Yerushalayim. And why are we giving cover to Yerushalayim? What is the significance? We have to understand the two things of significance. Number one, Yerushalayim there has two names. It's called Yireh. It was named by two individuals. It was named by Avraham Avinu, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. On this mountain may Hashem appear. It was the location of the Akedas Yitzchak. And Avraham was mispalel that on this mountain, just as I've sacrificed my son, may Hashem appear on this mountain in future generations, and that Ein Nechanami turned out to be the place where the Mikdash would be built. And Yeroeh, Mefarshim explained, comes from the root of Yireh. Yeroeh and Yireh, the same shosh, even the same letters, it means to fear. Avraham Avinu, the compliment that he received, or the achievement, was Ato Yodati Ki Yirei Elohim Ato. V'lechasachto Espinchas Yechidcho Asher Havta Mimeni. The accomplishment of the Akedu was Yire of Yira Shemayim, and he was Mispal Bahar Hashem Yeroya. Hashem should appear. It doesn't just mean Hashem should appear. This Mokim should be the place of Yira Shemayim, a place where we're Mispal Malu to Hashem. Yerushalayim is also taken from Sholem. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin V'Ruchayim L'Kel Elyon. And we know from Chazal that Yerushalayim really were there were two different districts. There was a place called Yireh from Av. There was a place called Sholem, and these two cities were merged. They were combined into one large city. And the question all the commentators ask is, why was it called Yerushalayim? Yireh Sholem. It should have been called Sholem Yeru. Sholem Yeru. What came first? Who came first? Malki Tzedek came first. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem V'Chayim L'Kel Elyon. So he came first. Avram only later called it V'Har Hashem Yeroya. So we V'Har what? Avraham only came later and was Mavakish Bahar Hashem Yeroah and called a section Yeroah. So if we were writing Tanakh and we were naming cities, I think that it would be natural for it to call it Sholem Yeru or something along those lines, which put the word Sholem first.
But you can't do that because it's Shem Hashem.
No. Why is it Shem Hashem? Sholem is Shem Hashem. So anyway, it's Yeru Sholem. Sholem.
Yeah, but the reason we don't Sholem say Shem Hashem is because you may die.
You say Levat.
So you say,
but Sholem is not Mamish Hashem's name. You say Sholem Aleichem. But clearly it should come first.
So what are you going to say? Like you can't say Makom. Sholem is like Makom.
Sholem is the name of a place. Sholem. It was new with Malki Tzelek Melech Sholem.
In terms of names of Hashem.
That's all the English cities.
No, so you can see, there's no harm calling it Sholem. It was called Sholem.
Right.
And it was also called Yeru. It was called Yeru, Bahar Hashem, or Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, which was called Yeroeh. So if we're going to combine these two names together, it should be called Sholem Yeru. Sholem Yeroeh. Sholem Yireh. I'm not sure, but you would make some combination, but you would emphasize first is the Sholem, and then you would come to the word Yireh. Why is it done in this order? So one of the answers is as follows. Call me Sheyir Osoy Chaydemes Lichachmaso Chachmasoy Miskayemes. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. When you have two midas, the midah of Chachma and the midah of Yira, the Iker is Yira Shamayim. Le'olam Yehodam Yirei Shamayim Beseser Vagoli. Yira Shamayim is key, it's critical. Call me Sheyir Osoy Chaydemes Lichachmaso Chachmasoy Miskayemes. Sholem represents shleimus of everything, shleimus of chachma, shleimus of oisha, shleimus of maisim, but there's something that comes before that. That is Yira. So even though it's true that chronologically we should put Sholem before Yira, but Yira is an essential nida that in Klal Yisrael has to come first. Purim, the essence of Purim is Mechias Amalek. It was the success, Leich Kinois Es Kol HaYehudim, the obliteration of Amalek. The essence of Amalek is defined in the Torah is V'lo Yorei Elokim. This is how the Torah defines the essence of Amalek. So remember what they did to you. Asher Korcha Baderech. Laizanev kol haNechashlim v'machanev b'cho kol haNechashlim acharecha v'ato oyef yogeya v'lo yorei Elokim. Purim is the success of the obliteration of Amalek. It is the recognition of the chavivus of yorei Elokim, and therefore, when we conclude Purim, we come to a makom. We come to a theme. There couldn't be a greater theme than a makom who. Of Mokom, who we put Yira Shamayim front and center. Yerushalayim is first is the Yira, and then is Sholem. Avraham may have come later than Sholem. He may have come on the scene later, but Avraham introduced Yira. Call me she Yirasa Kaidemis Lichachmasa Chachmasa Miskayemes. This is a Mokom which captures this concept. This is what Purim is. Purim is Yirasai Kodemes. Therefore, Chazal built into the Yontif of Purim a Yom Yerushalayim. A Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim is a Zecher. The only thing we have left from Shushan Purim is Man Hazeh, is Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one theme. Another theme is is that Yerushalayim, you have to understand that in the Torah, nowhere does it say in Chamish Chumshei Torah, there's going to be a place called Yerushalayim where the Mikdash will be built. We know Avram was Mespalel, there's a Midrashim, Malkei Tzelek Melech Sholem, but where would the Beis HaMikdash be built? It's a mystery. All we know in the Torah is L'shichnoi Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. You shall seek out Hashem Shechina and you will arrive there. It's a place, the location has yet to be determined in the future where the final resting place of Hashem Shechina will be. And that was a very big mystery. We mentioned many times from Rav Schwab, it's really a mitzvah to study in Yeshaya. The reason why it says all over in the Malachim that they never would succeed in removing the Bamos. Why is it that the Malachim, they were tzaddik? They were great tzaddikim. Rak habamos loy heisir. Why couldn't they succeed in removing the bamos? The mitzvah stuff it says it doesn't just mean it was an avera lishma. People liked to have in their backyard a private place to serve Hashem. It's a much deeper concept. People were not fully convinced that Yerushalayim would be the final resting place. There was a mishkan in Shiloh for 369 years. A wonderful, so it was a city. It was a mamish, a Beis HaMikdash. And that wasn't the final resting place. When it was destroyed, they moved on. They moved to Noiv. And then they moved from Noiv, they moved to Givon. And now they moved the Aron to Ir David. And now David is laying the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo is building a magnificent Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll be here for 410 years. And then we'll move on. We'll move on to Tel Aviv. We'll move on to someone else. What?
Wouldn't there have been a Beis HaMikdash if there wouldn't have been a Avayna Egel? Because the Shechina would be...
Okay, that's a question. This is a side question. How would have things happen? Some say yes, some say not. That's another Shiloh. The Kamta of Yelis El Hamakai Masha Yivchar Hashem Elokech L'shaka in Shmo Shama. Is that the right passage? Yivchar... No, it doesn't say. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. Asher Yivchar Hashem. There's going to be a place where there will be a final resting place, but it was a very big mystery. It was, so therefore, the Mitzudos David says, this Schwab develops this, and he says, and a tremendous Chizkiyah says, that's why even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, people still held on to the Bamos. Because the Bamos become operable when the Mikdash is on the move. If they'll one day decide, a Navi will one day make an announcement, Rabbi Yisai, I received a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to now move to Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is going to be the new place. We're going to move to Bnei Brak. Beis Shemesh. Okay, you pick the place. Ramat Aleph, Ramat Bey, there's going to be a new location. Oh, we're on the move. We're going to dismantle the Beis HaMikdash. The Bamos become operational once again. So why don't you just demolish the Bamos and move on? Because with this, they were not convinced. They were not convinced this will be the final resting place. Because the description of the Hashoras Hashchin is described in the future tense. The Kamta of Yelis El Hamakoyim, Asher Yivchar Hashem, Hashem will choose in the future. We have it. Nosan had God Hachoyze, David HaMelech told Klal Yisrael, this is it. This is the final resting place. This is not another Shiloh. They believed, but it took generations until it sunk in. Till it sunk in that indeed this is the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. There are many parallels in modern time about things that happen in world event. We don't believe things that happen in front of our eyes, and we just want to say, yeah, this is only. It's not the real. This is not the real deal. There's more to come. It took generations. Okay, this is not my idea. This is a very powerful idea. But the theme that everyone brings out is that the Yerushalayim in the Torah is not expressed anywhere. Yerushalayim is always described as the future. Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Amalek is described. The obliteration of Amalek is described with the word Mochar. Mochar, Yesh Mochar La'achar Zman. Classic example, Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, Mochar Yihyeh Ha'ois Hazeh. Yoshua, in the laning of Amalek on Purim, what do we say? We would say the word, say, Mochar, tomorrow, go out and fight against Amalek. Let me read the Pasuk. The obliteration of Amalek is also described as Vayomer Hashem In the Milchama of Amalek, there is an emphasis of, here it is, I got it right here. Vayomoshel Yoshua b'char lanu anoshim v'tzehi lochem b'amalek mochar yesh mochar la'achar zman. Mochar, the obliteration of Amalek and the selecting of Yerushalayim are totally zeh b'zeh. The hashuas hashchina of Yerushalayim, which comes together with the, is described b'loshon osin mochar. Esther, when she made a request of Homa, of Achashverosh, so she said, Yinosein gam mochor la Yehudim asher b'shushon la'asos kidos hayom. Give the Jews in Shushan gam mochor tomorrow to do kidos hayom. Shushan Purim, the ability to fight one more day and then to be, the resting should be pushed off, is also described with the word mochor. We have here Chut HaMeshulash. Shushan Purim, the essence of Shushan Purim is called Mochar. Amalek is Mochar. Yerushalayim is also, doesn't say the word Mochar, but Yerushalayim is Hamokim Asher Yifchar. It's something in the future, in the future. Yesh Mochar Liachar Zman. Therefore, Shushan, the Yom Tif of Shushan Purim is very much connected to the theme of Yerushalayim. It's only in the Megillah we said Yerushalayim is spelled Mole, because the full, even though we know the Mokom, we have no doubt about that, that Yerushalayim is the final resting place, that is a given, but the full complement of Kiddush, of Hashuas HaShchina, that yet has to be fulfilled. HaMokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, we already have a taste of the Geula, we know where the Mokom is, we have no doubt about it, but where Hashem will fully show His Shechina, even more so than the time of the Bayis Rishon, has yet to be seen, has yet to be experienced by Klal Yisrael, the time of the ultimate Gula, the Gula HaSida. So it's a very mystical day today. Today is Shushan Purim. It's not just that we're celebrating when our brother makes a chasana. We also celebrate. That's the common thing, that if in Eretz Yisrael they're celebrating a Shushan Purim, so we in Chutz Li'aretz, when your brother makes a chasana, you also celebrate. There are many Gedolim, the stories from Gedol Yisrael, that in Europe they could not attend a wedding of their students, of their Talmidim or their family members, so they celebrated at the same time a simcha was taking place somewhere else. At that exact moment, they were celebrating. I just listened to Rabbi Rakefet. He has many shirim on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right. So when the Lubavitcher Rebbe got married, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's parents could not make it to the wedding. Right. It was very difficult times of war. They were not able to travel. They were in Russia, and there are documents describing they made a wedding. They made like a mini wedding, not even a mini wedding, at home in Russia. His parents. And the Chosan and Kala were his parents. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's parents were treated like the Chosan Kala, and the whole community came. And even though it was communist Russia, I don't know exactly the details, and there was a lot of restrictions, the government loosened all the restrictions so that his parents can have a chasana celebrating the wedding of their son that was taking place in a whole different location. There is such a concept. That's the common theme of Shushan Purim. If our brothers are celebrating a Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, we don't say Tachlin here in America. It's a Yom Tov for us as well. But on a deeper level, the Shushan Purim, it represents the future of Klal Yisrael. Purim is the only miracle, the Chazal says, the only Yom Tov that's not going to become bottled with the coming of Mashiach. It represents the future. The future is captured in the theme of Yerushalayim. The only remnant we have of Shushan Purim is Yerushalayim. It's the Mochor. It's the Mochor of the Avamolek, and it's the Mochor of Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem, Mokom Yeh Ha'Ois Hazeh. Okay, let's go to some ideas from the short ideas from the parasha. In this week's parasha, we learn about the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshem. It's interesting that Parasha Sav, I feel, I get a certain sense that when this year is the perfect year. When you have an Ibiyar, you have a double Adar. Some even say that the year that the miracle of Purim happened, it happened in the year when there was a double Adar. And last week, Parasha Svayikra, there are so many different allusions, so many different remozim in Parasha Svayikra. Parshas Vayikra leading into Purim, and there are many remazim in Parshas Sav that we take away from Purim. One of the things I didn't mention last week, I only saw it recently, is that Vayikra is the perfect reference for Purim, because Vayikra is the Parsha Vayikra. Hashem calls to Moshe, Vayikra el Moshe, and then comes Purim. Vani lo nikresi lovoy el hamelech zesh loishim yoyim. I have not been called, but I'm going to go anyway. You start off the week with you have to be called to come, and you end off the week you can come even if you're not called. Vani lo nikresi lovoy el hamelech zesh loishim yoyim. But still, I'm going to go el hamelech asher loy chados.
That's why there's a little aleph, because it's Esther was. It was
Esther was sitting very nice, a nice little Jewish. Now we come to Parashat Tzav. What is the first mitzvah of Parashat Tzav? We come to Trumas Hadesh. It's come out the first mitzvah. It's not the first mitzvah. It first talks about the carbon oilah. But it comes to Parashas. We enter into Parashat Tzav. And no, it's really the first mitzvah. Tzav es ami etzbon avli mozois teras ha'olahi ha'ila al magda al mizbech kol halayla arabayker ve'eish hamizbech tukad bo. And then v'lov hashakayid midibar, we right away go into the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Fascinating Gemara Masech Yoma. The Gemara Masech Yoma says that when they would start off the day for Trumas Hadeshen, there was no pious. All of the avoidas of the day were determined by a lottery. You have to make a lottery. You have to. Participate in a lottery if you're zoicha to do the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha of all of the various karbonos of the tzibur. The only avoided that there was no pious was the Trumas Hadeshen. Why? For two reasons. Number one, it was people, the kohanim, did not consider it choshev. What do? You get dirty, you go and you take some ash off the mizbeach, you put it on the side, you take it out to your shalayim. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? It wasn't choshev. It's called an avoidas laila. I mean, that's all part of it not being choshev. Something you do in the middle of the night. It's done before the day begins. And number two, you had to get up very early. It was very hard to get up so early in the morning. There wasn't a lot of competition, so it wasn't necessary. People would show up to do the Trumas Hadeshen. They would come, and if there was a competition, so you'll do today, you'll do tomorrow. It wasn't a big deal. But then, over time, there was a lot of competition. It got out of hand. It got out of hand. And there were fights. Chazal said we have no choice, but we have to institute a pious even for the Trumas Hadeshen. It's very interesting, because that's exactly comes after Purim. Before Purim, the pious wasn't choshev. I think it's a little bit of a drush. It's not an exact, but not an exact science. The pious wasn't choshev. In between Vayikra and Saf, a pious to do the avoda.
Purim.
You come to Purim, you see the chavivas of the Laila. First of all, it's the Laila. It's the avoid of the Laila, which means Purim is the only miracle that occurred in the time of Laila, of Golas. And it's a miracle that came about through a pious, a goyel, Purim, who are poor. Then the recognition of the coincidence, then they decided, oh, an avoid of Laila. The dafka, you have to have a chavivas of a pious to show this hashkocha protest, and even the avoida that happens in the middle of the night. The pious, the hashkocha protest is not just at times of day, of times when it's obvious that the shechina is resting in Klal Yisrael. There's a hakara, a recognition of a hashkocha protest, even in the avoidas laila. So after a period of time, after you go through parshas, in between parshas, and Parsha Saf, now you come to Trumas Hadeshen, we only can fully appreciate the chazivos of Trumas Hadeshen. Even that has to only enter in with, you only can enter into the Avoida with a pious. Okay, now let's go to, there's another idea I want to point out over here. We have over here a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, V'lo shakoy mi deivad, u'michne seivad ilbash al besaroi. Veheirimis Hadesh, he shall lift up the desh. First, before I tell you the part, something very fascinating. I saw there's a Mesoyer in Eretz Yisrael that the location where Mir Yeshiva is, I don't know how they know this. I guess that's Geula. Is that where Mir Yeshiva is?
Yeah.
That whole area was the place of the Chumash Adeshan. They claim is that they know they take out the ash off the Mizbech and they cart it out to El Mokoyim Tahar. Because they have loved the history of the stories where they tried to build, this goes back hundreds of years, and hundreds, whatever, different facilities in that area, and nothing ever came to fruition. And when they built the yeshivas there, it went very, very, very well. And they would be Gedolei Yisrael, that you say it's because they have a Mesod, that this location, the location where they would pour the Shefech HaDeshen. It's this little location where they would cart out the ash from the bay, all the Korbanos. It's a holy place. It's the ashes of all the Korbanos that Klal Yisrael offer for all the generation were poured over here. This is holy soil. It's only Kedai that in such a location there should be
foundation because of the ashes.
Because of the ashes. Okay, well they build whatever, but it's an interesting thing. If it's true or not, it's a very interesting thing. Everything is b'hashkacha, a location. That these soul locations were the place where
hasnoda. So pizza as in
the who's carbon? That and the foundation. Maybe that was your carbon?
gentlemen, one second. Moish Segelbaum, you know, is
yeah,
home.
Yeah.
He tells me he listens to the Shir on internet religiously. So I think we have to wish him,
a Freilich Purim. A Freilich Shushan Purim. I spoke with him yesterday. Okay. Okay, but let's go be this very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, "Veheri mesadesh, you will lift up the desh nashatoich aloish asoyla al mizbech v'sam oitz al mizbech." Rashi pasuk gimel says, "Veheri mesadesh, hoyichoise miloy hamachta min hameucholos." You wouldn't just take any ash off the mizbech. You would take your shovel and you would calculate the part of the ash that was completely, that was well done. You would stir miloy hamachta. Min hamu cholos, from the coals that were consumed, hapnimiyos, the inner coals, the noisnan b'mizrocha shel kedesh, you put on the right side on the floor of the ramp. Where did Rashi get this from? It's a very big mystery. It doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that when you did the Trumas Hadeshen, you had to focus very specifically on the best coals. Does not say this anywhere. The only place we have something like this is Yom HaKippurim. When the Kohen Gadol went, it's actually a Farshas Pasuk, when the Kohen Gadol, when he went in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he prepared the coals, it's Parshas Achrimos, he prepared the coals that he's going to use to be makdir the Ketores. There it says, there are a lot of coals. He was very precise in selecting the coals which were well done. So what's going on here? This idea to select the coals that are well done is an avoda that's miyuchid for Yom Kippur. Let me see if I can quickly find it in Parashas Meloy Hamachta Gachliyish. And Chazal comments, it's a Gemara Masecht Yoma. The Gemara Masecht Yoma comments on this that it had to be.
There was two different
mistakes,
no? When he went
into he made a fire with coals in order to collect coals.
When he took him Kippur, did he take him Mizbech
Hazad? No, he took him Mizbech Achitzan. Let's see the Pasuk. Let me find the Pasuk. Achrimais, one moment. Okay. The Lokach. V'logach meloy hamachta gach mi'al hamizbech milifnei Hashem pasuk perik tes zayin pasuk yudbeis and Rashi hachitzoy milifnei Hashem. Okay, no, so it's not it, but it's in the Gemara. It's in the Gemara Masechta Yom. Maybe I wrote it down. It's in the Gemara Masechta Yom that says the same exact expression. The Gemara Masechta Yom Tera Torah Tamima. Find the exact pack. The exact daf in the Gemara, where it says the koyin, when we learn from this pasuk, he took out coals that were mu'cholos to bring in, put on his shovel to go into the kodesh hakodashim. So where did Rashi get it? So it's a very big mystery, but I think of there's a very important message where Rashi over here is trying to say what.
It's
in the Talmud Daf Chav Dalet. Talking Masechta Talmud.
Talmud
Daf Chav Dalet. Okay, so you have to look at the Gemara, but he took the Mucholais. So where did Rashi get over here that you have to go take here in this command, this for the Truma Session? So the answer, I think, is a very powerful Liman Musa. From all of the Avoidos of the Beis Hamikdash, if you were to put them on a scale, there's the most Choshev and there is the least Choshev, the most insignificant. The most Choshev is Yom HaKippurim. You're going lefnai v'lefnim to makdei the ketores. I mean that's the spitz. I mean, what more do you possibly want from that? And here the kohen is making the hachonis. This is the countdown. He's now taking the coals on the shovel to go to lefnai v'lefnim to put the ketores to makdei the ketores in the kodesh hakodashim. And then on the least choshev avodas is what is the trumas hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, you're taking out the psoilas. The fire burnt the entire night, and now it's the middle of the night, it's not an avodah chashuv, it's at night, you're not bringing it, you're taking away the fire. And how do you take away the fire? How do you take away the coals to mekayim the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen? You do it with the same chazivus, with the same technique that the Kohen Gadol did to prepare to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is the limud mussar? That a person should never chas v'shalom think, what is my avodah worth? You have in Klal Yisrael tzaddikim, kedoshim, they go lefnai v'lefnim. They teach talmidim, they do whatever they do. What am I? I'm just a regular person. I'm a regular person. Well, what is my avodah worth to Hashem in this world? Look what Rashi says. When they did Trumas Hadeshen, it's the pochosheh ba'avoidus. You don't even wear the regular clothing. You wear shvacha clothing. Ain't a daimer clothing you wear when you serve Hashem to the clothing you wear when you take out the garbage, Rashi says. You wear shvacha clothing. In the middle of the night, originally there was no need for a pious. But the way you do it is with the same chavivus, the same technique that the Kohen Gadol goes on Yom HaKippurim lefnai v'lefnim lefnei v'ribayna shalaylam. It's a very powerful even with the person. Never underestimate how choshev Hashem considers his machshev, his avodas HaKodesh. Okay, let's go to another what? What?
Gemara in Talmud says that part about the avodas.
Tamid
Chav Dalet. How Tamid Chav Dalet? This Nachimos. That's the pasuk Nach. What?
From here, from Tzav.
Parshas Tzav.
The
Hermes Adeshen. Okay, but this nusach, I don't think you're going to find it in the Gemara. Maybe you will. Okay, these are the only two places. One thing you have to look at the Gemaras. I don't have time to go through the Gemaras, but basically these are the only two places where you have this idea of to take min hamilucholos. Yomachta, there's the same nusach in these two places. Yom Kippurim, there's a Gemara in Yom that talks about what you do right. That's in the Parsha Achimos, and maybe look in Talmud. This is the technique. This technique is miyuchet for the Kodesh HaKadoshim and for the Trumas Hadeshen to be melamed a person. The Musar is, don't underestimate your avoda, how chovev it is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I tell you a vart from the Reish Rav. The Reish Rav, he writes, b'mokoyim we have here in the parish of a Karban Chatos. Parish of a Karban Chatos begins with, let me turn to the right page.
Your grandfather.
My great-grandfather.
Okay, good.
The Zois Taras Achatos. The Zois Taras. Well, let's see where it is.
Paragraph
Zois. Dabar Zois Taras Achatos. Bimkoy Masher Tishachet Ha'olah Tishachet Achatos. Lefnei Hashem. What is the significance of the pasuk saying in the place where you slaughter the carbon chatos, where you slaughter the carbon oila, is the place where you slaughter the carbon chatos? This is a very dangerous pasuk, because we know that a carbon oila is offered only for a machshava ra. It's Chazal said that a carbon oila is mechaper for an avera that you thought you were going to do. Here avera. If a person actually does the avera, you don't bring a carbon chat, you don't bring a carbon. There's no kapara. I mean, you have the carbon, the person does the aveira b'mezid, then there's no purpose to bring a carbon. Then you have to do tshuva to doing the avera. But for a hirhur avera, for a thought of doing an avera, then a carbon oila tefer shechazal brings kapara. An oila is completely burnt. It's mechaper for a hirhur avera. If a person does an avera, what?
How do you know that
here
is a question?
How do you, the Gemara? It's a chazal. I don't know where it is. It's a famous chazal. Here avera machshava carbon oila is mechaper for here avera. A carbon chatos is mechaper for doing an avera, provided the avera was done by accident. If a person does an avera b'mezid, you don't bring a carbon. So the Reish Rav asked the question, here, if you're going to bring the carbon chatos, the Torah is telling you, bring the carbon chatos in the same place where you brought the carbon oila. Wait a minute. You're combining a machshava ra with a maisa. In other words, the Torah could have just said, bring your carbon chatos on the north side of the mizbech. The fact that the Torah emphasizes, bring the carbon chatos in the same place where you did, when you bring a carbon oila, there's something very unsettling, because if you are maharer, if you do an avera b'shoigeg by accident, what is lacking? The thought. I did something by mistake. I had no intent. Then you have a situation where I have plans to do an avera. I'm at home. I'm now going to eat chalef. I want to eat chalef, and that's what I want to do. And you're about to do it, and then you decide, you know what? It's not a good idea. So for that hirhur avera, I need to bring a carbon oila. If I have no plan whatsoever of doing an avera, but I accidentally eat chalev, then I bring a carbon chatos. But if I did them both, I had kavana to eat the chalev, and I ate the chalev, so what happens? You don't bring a carbon chatos. And if you bring a carbon chatos, if you don't bring a carbon oila, and you don't bring a carbon chatos. And if you bring the carbon oila, and you bring the carbon chatos, you brought chulin ba'azara. I mean, you can bring an oila l'shem shemaim. But when the two are combined together, that converts into an avera that's done b'mezid, with an avera that's done with a hearer, and then you don't bring a carbon. So when the Torah here says, oh, bring your carbon chatos in the same place where you bring b'mokai mashem, that sounds like that defeating the purpose, because the oila is the hearer and the chatos is the maisa, and if you bring them in the same exact location, you're combining a machshava with a maisa, and a machshava with a maisa brings you to a madrega where you can't bring a carbon. So what in essence is the pasuk telling you? It's telling you that Hashem has rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. He is not mitzoreif a machshava ra im hamaisa. That's the message. This goes on to say, Al-Derech Tush is Kodesh Kodoshim Hi. This principle.
What does that mean? That the oil is good and the chatos is not good?
No, they're both good. They're both good. But the Torah is just alluding that the Gemara says, by an oivet koichavim, by umos ha'oilam, Hashem is mitztarev a machshava ra with a maisa. But by Klal Yisrael, Hashem is not mitztarev machshava with a maisa. So this is merumus in this pasuk. The fact that you can go bring, the Torah says, bring the carbon chatos in the same place where you bring the carbon oila, the fact that we're putting these two together, it's being, and they're both good. I don't consider there to be a combination of an machshava ra with a maisa which would destroy the koyach of the carbon. And this principle that Hashem does not looking to make trouble for us, this is Kodesh Kodashim, he interprets homiletically, is a very holy principle that Kodesh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael is only looking to be the Mulamed merit. What?
The portion point out, at least you wrap it up, another scene, that all the by an ola, it says Yishei Reach Nikoach Lashem. By Chatos and Hashem, it doesn't say Yishei Reach Nikoach. Because God is pleased when you bring the ola.
Yeah.
So it's a Reach
Nikoach. That's Reach Nikoach. But you do an Avera.
It's not a Reach Nikoach. You bring it because you did something terrible, and God is not pleased. He's not looking for you to bring Karbon Chatos.
Okay.
How does it fit in that it says that by the Goyim, if they have a bad intention, Hashem is going to punish that even though they didn't fulfill an action?
Okay, it says even more. Hashem is mitzvah a maisa that a guy does. Okay, let's do with this. It's just a drush. It's not, you have to take it in context. It's not a. Okay, let me just go to another quick word from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein is a very powerful Yisoid. It's not totally what he says, but I think combining two different ideas. Rav Moshe asks a similar question: why here are we suddenly repeating? We're going through the Korbanos once again. Many of the Korbanos that we learned in the previous in this Parasha Tzav were already taught us in Parasha Vayikra. Why is there repetition? And one of the main differences between the way it's presented here and presented in Parasha Vayikra is in Parasha Vayikra, every time it says an avodah should be done, it says v'zorku b'nei Aharon hakoyanim, the children of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood. V'orchu b'nei Aharon hakoyanim, the children of Aaron shall arrange the pieces of the carbon on the mizbeach. Here in Parasha Tzav, when we begin the Parasha, Tzav es Aharon v'es banav lemar. All of a sudden here, the instruction is to Aaron and to his children. Why here are we changing the order? Aaron comes first, and then comes his children. So we have two questions. Why the repetition, and why is the order reversed? Rav Moshe says, the difference is, in the previous psukim, in Parash Vayikra, we don't have the word Torahs. When the Torah describes the korbanos, it just says, bring a korban. There's a korban chatas, a korban oil, a korban shlamim. In Parasha Tzav, when we describe the korbanos, it's described, Tzav es aron v'es banav lemar, zois toiras ha'oila. What does it mean, toiras? The law. It's alluding, we're not focusing only on the actual ma'isav hakrava. We're focusing on the underlying meaning behind the mitzvah. For example, Chazal said that as man said, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, kol ha'oseik b'toiras chatas ki ilu hikrev chatas. If you recite the psukim, or you learn the sugya of a carbon, it's as if you have offered the carbon itself. There is the chatas itself, and then there is the toiras chatas, there are the laws of the carbon chatas. So when it comes to Parashas Vayikra, we're describing just the mechanics, the technique, the details. There, who is the one, the ikar, to do the service? The children, they're young, they're energetic, they have koiches. So there first comes v'zorku b'nei aharoin, v'orchu b'nei aharoin. But when it comes to teach the principles, when it comes to teach the meaning, the deeper meaning behind the korbanos, then we come to Parasha Tzav, we repeat the korbanos again, we're going to focus on the nuances of the korbanos, to allude to the deeper meaning behind the korbanos. And we can emphasize this by adding one more word that it does not say in Parashat Vayikra of Toiras. And here the Musar is, who's the one that's going to be in charge of teaching the Torah? Aaron, the Zekanim, they come before the young people. Aaron, the Esbana. First comes Aaron, then comes the children. Now, taking this idea a little bit further, this idea of Aaron and the Esbana and Toiras also alludes to the Shalsheles Hadoras. The sugi, the concept of the Trumas Hadeshim, which is the very first mitzvah of the parasha, according to Chazal, alludes to an avoda of transition. During the day, there are avodas. You bring korbanos, the Tamei Shel Shachar, Tamei Shel Ben Arbaim, the Ketores, and then there are avodas that are done at night. What are the avodas that are done at night? The Haktoras Emurim. But then there's an avoida that serves as a transition from the night to the next day. What avoida serves in that capacity? Trumas Hadeshen. What is Trumas Hadeshen? You're taking the leftovers from the previous day's avoida, and you are doing it at the end of the night, which leads into the next morning, and you are removing it from the Beis HaMikdash, you're putting it on the side of the Mizbech, and from there you're taking it out to Mechutz L'machne, and this avod is certainly extended into the next day. The avod of Trumas Hadesh is an avod of transition from one day to the next day. The transition of it represents the Shalsheles Hadoros, the continuation, the continuity of Klal Yisrael. This, when we begin Parashas Tzav, we change focus. Until now, it was B'nei Aaron. But when it comes to the Trumas Hadeshen, this critical understanding to guarantee that there be Jewish continuity, that we go from the previous day into the next day, there'll be a transition. This is Tzav es Aaron, the Esbon of Lemar. It begins with the Zekanim before we come to the children.
Interesting, another thing, we said once that the night is before the day.
Yeah.
so that the day, the night starts off with a hard, dirty work, let's say, to be able to make the day a successful day.
I don't understand.
Zohir Medimah, you have to work with the only afar.
Okay, and you have to... All right, well, another point I want to make in the sixth parasha, we have the middle of the Torah. The middle of the Torah appears, and there are three middles. There's the middle of psukim, a middle of words, and the middle of letters. The middle letter is the vav de gochain, according to Chazal. The middle of words is darosh darash moisha, which is next week's parasha. And the middle of psukim is in this week's parasha, is parasha saf. Where is the middle of the parasha? Paperek. Ches pasek zayin. Vayititein alav es hakutoynes. Vayachar oso ba'avneid. Vayalbeish oso es ami'il. Vayitein alav es o'efod. Vayachar oso b'cheshev. O'efod vayepod lobo. And then that's the center. And then the next pasuk is vayosim alav es hachoshin. Vayitein el hachoshin es ho'urim v'yes hatumim. What is the significance that these two psukim represent the center of the Torah? And the answer is very simple. Because here we're describing the Kohen Gadol getting dressed. The Kohen Gadol gets dressed, he puts on his eight begadim. The first four begadim are really just mundane garments. He's putting on, what is he putting on? He's putting on the ketoinets, those are the pants, the avnet, the me'il, even for the Kohen Gadol, me'il is just a garment. On top of the me'il, he puts on another apron, another garment. Then comes the injection of spirituality. Then comes Vayosem Olov Es HaChoshen. The Choshen is the Shemois of Klal Yisrael. And in the Choshen is Vayitein El HaChoshen Es Hurim V'es HaTumim is the Shem Hashem. And through the Urim V'tumim, the stones of the Choshen, they light up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with Klal Yisrael. The center of the Torah represents the synthesis. The center always represents the essence, the purpose, the goal, the focus of what Torah is all about. The center of the Torah in Psukim is the synthesis of Ruchnius and Gashmius. That is what makes us different than the Umosol. Umosol have a very hard time understanding that you're in a world in order to elevate, in order to synthesize, to make peace between Ruchnius and Gashmius. By the Umosol, when you bring a carbon, the only carbon you bring is a carbon oil. They can't appreciate that you can eat the carbon. Can it really be that the Kohanim that offer the carbon, they actually eat from the carbon? That's right. The Baolim who bring a carbon shlam, they actually eat from the carbon? That the answer is yes. Klali, it's hard for them to understand such a thing. By Klal Yisrael, the avoda is to take Gashmius and to elevate Gashmius, to inject Ruchnius into the Gashmius. And that is exactly the message the Torah presents in Parashat Tzav. This parasha is the center of the Torah, the Pinimius HaTorah in Psukim. And the center point is, look, you have a human being. A human being is an embarrassment. He's naked. It's a disgusting thing to be naked. You have to get dressed. So you get dressed. You put on pants. You put on a shirt. You put on a coat. And you get dressed nice also. You can put on an ephod. It's a fancy garment also. You can cover. You can beautify yourself. But that's not it. That's the center. Right after we mentioned getting dressed in all of the garments of Gashmius, the next pasuk, the other side of the center is, now take the Gashmius, inject in that Gashmius, Ruchnius. The Choshen, the Urim, the Tumim, inject in the Gashmius, the Ruchnius. This is the central theme of the Torah, here, right here, in Parshas Tzav.
You combine.
And you have a human being that's naked, you reach the middle point, you know, take away your embarrassment. But then the other side of the half, the other side of the center is, take that Gashmius, and don't just leave it there. Elevate it. Inject it with spirituality. Put upon the Gashmius the Choshen, the Urim V'Tumim, which illuminates the Kedusha, the communication of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the human being, in the Gashmius that you've developed, you've built for yourself.
Where's
this part from? It's Pasha, this part. This part is a simple part. Okay. It's Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer, okay. Okay, to conclude, I really don't have that very much. Not that I didn't prepare, but not so easy. Okay. Okay, I'll just tell you this is not a real var, but it's a sharp var. I don't know. This is not mine, but this is a sharp. I heard this from a few people. The carbon matzah. A lot of the farshim say usually in a regular year, Parshat Sav is Shabbos Hagadol. So there are a lot of remozim in Parshat Sav, the Shabbos Hagadol. Kashrus talks about the klicheres. Klicheres have to be broken, and then there's matzah. So one of the famous verluch on the matzah is you have to eat the matzah in a mokim kodesh. Let's see if I can find the pasuk. Parsh of Mincha. The zois teras mincha. Hakriv v'sabnei Aaron l'fnei Hashem el pnei hamisbeach. Ve'heilin imenu bekumtsa misilas mincha mishamno. Okay, v'chulu v'chulu. It says. Don't eat chametz. Call Asher Yigalui. Okay. Let me see. B'makom zois l'mincha hakivos l'akim imenu bekumtsa misilas mincha mishamno eat chalavina. V'naseres yoichlu aroin uvanav matzos teachel b'makom kodesh. It's a short, sharp part. The matzah has to be eaten in a makom kodesh. Doesn't just mean a mokoim in the earth. It means your mouth. The matzah can only enter into a mokoim that's kodesh. Before you can come to eat matzah, you have to cleanse your mouth. To cleanse your mouth, the mokoim of where the matzah enters has to be holy, has to be cleansed from of lashon hara, rechilis, and all these other interesting things. Okay, let me just conclude with some other short things. You know, there's a var the day after Yom Kippurim, the day after Yom Kippurim is in Yiddish is an expression. It's called Hashem's nomen. Is that how you pronounce
that's
it?
Tog.
God's tog. The day after Yom Kippurim, it's called Hashem's name. It's called in Yiddish Hashem's name. Why? Because until then, it's a higher madrega. It's a higher madrega than the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Why? During the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we switch from Hakel HaKadosh to Hamelech HaKadosh. Now let us ask, from the two, which one is more chashuv? Which one is more chashuv, Akel HaKadosh or Amelech HaKadosh? Akel, because Akel is Kodesh. You're not allowed to say it in vain. Akel has Kedusha. Hamelech is a nice word. It represents a very powerful concept, but it does not have Kedusha. So when you go after Yom HaKippurim is over, you come the day after Yom HaKippurim, the 4 days before, it's Hashem's name. Now we're on even a higher Madrega. Purim, to a large degree, is even more of Hamelech HaKadosh than Yom Kippurim. Because the Megillah, the whole Megillah is Hamelech, Hamelech, Hamelech. Every time it says what Hamelech, every time it says Hamelech, Hamelech refers to the Melech Malchai Hamelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can say that just like we know that there's an equivalence between Yom Kippur and Purim, Yom Kippurim is only, it's Yom Kippurim. And just like when Yom HaKippurim comes to an end, you go even to a higher Madrega, where now it's Hashem's name. Now we can reach a higher Madrega, we can call Hashem by His name. We're not just calling Hashem, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a secondary fashion of HaMelech. Alachas kam v'kam, after experiencing Purim, after experiencing the HaMelech, you come to the day after, if you take the lessons from Purim to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, this is even a higher Madrega. It's certainly today also called Hashem's name, the day after Purim. And to allude to that, we have here, this week's parasha itself, there are many allusions to what comes after Purim. It says in the parasha here, Tzaveh, Tzaveh, Yezbonav, Limazoyz, Terasa, Oylehi, Oylal, Moikdal, Mizbeach, Kol Alayla, Arhabak, V'esh HaMizbeach, Tukadboy. The special Gezeres HaKosef for the Kohanim to light the fire on the Mizbeach. I think Rashi says, the Eish HaMizbeach, Tukad Bo, you're not allowed, I think it's Rashi somewhere, I don't know exactly Rashi, even though an Eish Min HaShemayim came down, and was There was a fire min Ashram that came down on the Mizbeach. We know that to be so. There is still a mitzvah lohave min ahedyot. And now we know that was one of the sins of Nadav Aviyu. Nadav Aviyu, why did they sin? They took a fire from the Mizbeach, from the Esh min Hashemayim. They did not bring a fire from their own private fire. The fire min Hashemayim was an expression of chiba. But you still have an obligation, you still have an obligation to bring a fire Esh min Ahedyot. What's the reason? You have to hide the miracle. The purpose of living in this world is not to live on miracles. Not, you don't live on Moifsim. Live on Moifsim. Medicare, WIC, food stamps, Section 8. You know the word Moifes. That's not the goal. The goal is to be master. The goal is not to live on Moifsim. The goal is to live on miracles. Purim is oichen a miracle. Purim is a miracle. It's a nes nistar. But it's an even a greater madrega to live where you master the nes, to live with a emunah pshuta. We go through the entire year. We start off with Pesach. Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Lechem Lechem Rosh Chodoshim. Nisim L'malim Derech HaTeva. You come to the end of the year. Come to the end of the year is Purim. Nisim Nistarim. And now, no, I never said this before. Now, what?
For Yom Kippur, we said the by Yehud and Ha'ezer Mishim Shasai.
Yeah.
The Shaykh was between Abdullah and Purim.
To look back, right. But what comes after Purim? It's not over yet. We still have 15 days. It's not over yet. The Chodesh Elohim Rosh Chodesh, you start off with Nisan Gluim leading up to Pesach, and you go through the entire Nisan is starting. Parsha Sav tells you what tells you the end. Tells you in this there's a mitzvah lahastir es hanes. There was an Eish Min HaShamayim which came down on the Mizbech that consumed all the korbanos. Yet the Torah says, I don't want the carbon to be consumed by the Eish Min HaShamayim. I want you Eish Tomi al the Eish al Mizbech Tukad Bo, which Chazal say that you should light a fire. Every single morning you light a fire. You should live a world al Derech HaTeva. The last 15 days of Adar is even a higher madriga than Purim, because Purim taught us this Nisim Nistarim, but it's still Nisim. You have 15 days when you come to the ultimate madriga of to live a life with a moon of Shuto, not even looking for the Nisim Nistarim. It's even there's Nisim Gluim and there are Nisim Nistarim, and then there's living. It's you live with emunah pshuta, not with any expectation whatsoever that you should find nisim, because you're hearing this from the Olam HaTeva, and the Olam HaTeva, and that's what the purpose of the Eish al Mizbeach Tukad Bo. You should be master the nes, hide the miracle. Hiding the miracle is not limited to hiding a miracle that's lemal lemiderech HaTeva. There's a madrega of hiding a miracle, even a miracle that's within Teva, a nes nistar. Don't focus. Everything will be okay. Everything is going to be. It's going to be. Hashem is. The miracles hiding behind the scenes. You have to train yourself to live it. Even if things don't go your way, even if the miracles don't things don't work out your way, you still serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. La hastir es hanes, a nes nistar and a nes galui. That's the lavoida of the last 15 days of Adar. It's just a token. It's not even a whole month. We go from Nisan Gluyim, all the way to the end of the year, Nisan Nistarim, and now we come to Tzav, Eish, Tomid, Alamizbech, Tukad Bo, Lahastir Esanes, conclude the month with Emuna Pshuta. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
It says all carbonas that we describe the amount of time that one is allowed to eat it. So it says that's an example of Shlomim, Shnei Yom Kippur, except the Shalmei Toda. So Shalmei Toda, you're giving thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, you only get Yom Kippur. You only get one day, you don't get 2 days. And it says the reason is very simple. When you bring the Shalmei Toda, you want to emphasize the days. So if you would spread it out over 2 days, then it dilutes it to some degree. And you would be able to nurse the oila, you eat a little bit yourself. One day, a shalom, you eat it a little bit. On one day, a little bit. And the next day, you finish it by yourself. Perhaps you would meet your family. But if you have only one day to eat it, you have to invite a lot of people to share it with you, and then say over the Nisa, it's the big Kiddush Hashem, all the things that happen to you, and that's how you do it. So I'm only giving you one day. The same thing we have with, so what I wanted to add, what I said yesterday, was Purim. We have a Purim, a Shushan Purim, but nevertheless, you don't celebrate both. You can do one or the other. What we want to emphasize, how great the nace is. If you give it 2 days, then you do a little bit here, a little bit there. It dilutes the nace of the darkness of the nace. If you force to do it on one day, you see what happens. We have a tremendous, you walk around and you see what goes on in the front neighborhoods, how great it is, how everybody celebrates and makes it to this. And not to say, all right, I'll come today, you come tomorrow. Concentrated into one day. You have to invite the maximum amount of people to share the next.